Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Can I give you a testimony of someone who did not feel spiritual at all, who received a miracle? He's a man who was healed around 1974. He was a tall man, about 6'6". Very tall, especially for that day. And he was filled with terminal cancer, stage 4. And in those days, terminal cancer was a death sentence, unless you knew the healer of all diseases. He was from Santa Barbara. He was a seaman. He fished and he went to sea. And he was an alcoholic. So much of an alcoholic that his testimony tells us that he used to drink an entire, I don't know what you call those things, because I've never had this in my life. But they say a container this big, and it's called Beef Eater's Gin. I don't know what that is. I've seen it. I've seen it on billboards. But I could not tell you what it actually looks like. But I know it from his testimony. Beef Eater's Gin, a whole entire thing of it, every day. He was an alcoholic. And a bee who was so loving. She was in charge of the buses for knew Sam the fisherman very well. And every other word that came out of his mouth was not a good one. And she said, Sam, please, Miss Coleman is going to be at the Shrine Auditorium this month. Please, can you come? And he was very angry that she even asked. He said, all those people that go up on the stage, I know very well they're paid to give those testimonies. People pay them money for a good show. And he said, I'm not in the business of seeing a good show. I can stay home and watch a good show on TV. She said, Sam, if you go, she made a bargain with him. And so he said, okay, with a few unmentionable words, I'll go. He was sitting in the front row for some reason on the side. And the reason I love this testimony so much is not only because he did not feel spiritual or respond spiritual, but because the lady who identified his healing, we know very well, Annie Human, I know who she is. Her name was Sister Edith. She trained us. She worked with Miss Coleman. She was one of Miss Coleman's workers on the floor at the Shrine Auditorium. Very few, about maybe 5, Miss Coleman had. Sister Edith was one that had been with her for years. Remember, Annie. She remembers. And Sister Edith would tell us, on the day of the shrine, she'd be under such an anointing because she had the responsibility of identifying the healings that Miss Coleman was calling out. And so she knew exactly. She saw the glory on Sam the fisherman. But she didn't pounce on him. She went over and said, sir, with her thick glasses. She had glasses that were so thick, her eyes looked this big. They were magnifiers. She had that beautiful hairdo from the 1970s, a little bun that was really high like a beehive. She had brown dishwater blonde hair. And she came over to him and she said, sir, I believe Miss Coleman is speaking about you. And he said a few unmentionable words to her. And she said, if you stand up, as Miss Coleman said, you will claim your healing. And as soon as Sister Edith said that, Miss Coleman's finger pointed and said to him, sir, if you are the one with the cancer, stand, because the cancer is being healed right there. He stood up. That long, lengthy man stood up in the heat of the Holy Spirit with no person touching him. The heat of the Holy Ghost began to go through his body. And Sam the fisherman didn't know what to do. And he was just trembling under the power of God. And Maggie, another one of Miss Coleman's workers, her assistant along with Sister Edith, Maggie wanted to screen him because he knew something was happening. This time he didn't resist. He went all the way along with it. And he went, the doctors, Miss Coleman always had doctors on both sides of the auditorium, plus screeners. You had to go through the screeners. They were the most important ones who knew by the Spirit of God if you were healed or not. Not because they checked you, but because they had word of knowledge operating in the floor. And they knew by the Spirit of God if you were healed or not. And so Maggie says, something's happening. We got to let him go to Miss Coleman. The doctor looked at him as soon as he got to Miss Coleman. Miss Coleman took one finger, just one finger, and he fell down under the power. And he kept getting up and falling under the power. He was completely healed of stage 4 terminal cancer. But do you know what Sam the fisherman did? He went back to Santa Barbara and sold everything. And do you know what he did? He spent the rest of his life in prayer. He joined a group of people that pray all the time. And he spent the rest of his life in prayer and service to God. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. I want you to know, if you receive a miracle tonight, the greatest miracle is what happens to the person that receives the miracle. I want you to know something is going to happen to you when you receive a miracle. Whether you're saved or not saved. If you are saved and you receive the miracle, you will be so on fire for God. You will be so anointed, and you know that your body no longer belongs to you. That your body belongs now to the Holy Spirit as never before. Even though it always did. When he heals you, he claims certain rights. Certain rights to take possession of his property. Do you understand? Something happens to the believer that is healed. Something happens to the believer that receives a miracle. And to the non-believer that receives a miracle. Something happens. You're consecrated and separated. Because the power of heaven has touched your body. It's not a light thing. Heaven has come down to earth. It's not a light thing. And one of the reasons that we have a bit of difficulty today is we don't understand the reason for healing. We think it's just to make me feel good. We don't realize with that healing there is a responsibility. You see. Are you with me, saints? Let's open our Bibles today. And in a moment, we're going to pray, and there are going to be teams here. There are teams that are going to pray for every kind of malady that you have had. I want you to open with me to the gospel according to Mark. Oh, the gospel according to Mark. What a glorious gospel. Aren't all the Gospels glorious? Mark is especially glorious. Do you know why? Because Mark shows us the Son of God who casts out devils. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel according to Mark, there is no narrative of the Nativity. In Luke's Gospel, we have a narrative in the Nativity. And in Matthew's Gospel, we have an unusual, powerful narrative in the Nativity. How many of you would like to know one of the secrets in the Nativity of the Gospel according to Matthew? How many of you would like to know the secret? One of the secrets. See, we just think it's reading a story and, all right, we all know Jesus is born, that Magi come, the shepherds are there. In Luke's Gospel, we see the shepherds, and in Matthew's Gospel, we see the Magi. And we think, wow, I know the story very well. What else is there to know? Oh, there's secrets in God's Word. There's much more that the author had in mind than for you to hear a biography. The Bible is not a biography. Everything in the Word of God teaches us. There's nothing in God's Word that does not teach us even a narrative. The Bible shows us Joseph, the man who was chosen to raise the Messiah. An unusual narrative. Joseph, around the Nativity, is given a series of dreams. Not one, but four. Four dreams. These dreams are so important. But they're very important to identify who Jesus is. Because you see, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophets of God received their messages by dreams. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, if there be a prophet among you, look at it in the Word of God, Numbers 12, verse 6, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. Did you see that? I will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream, if there be a prophet among you. Did you realize that the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, received their messages by way of dreams? The Bible says that when God said to Abraham, Abram, Abraham, Abraham, he responded, Hineni, which means here am I. He said, take your son, your only son who you love, and go and sacrifice him on one of the mountains that I will tell you of. Go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him there on one of the mountains that I will tell you of. Do you know what the Bible says? He rose up early in the morning. Do you know why the Bible is telling us he rose up early in the morning? Because God spoke to him by way of dream. That is where he received his instruction. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, and Israel, meaning the name of Jacob, the spiritual name, Israel dreamed dreams of visions in the night. And the Lord said to him, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Hineni, here am I. He said, don't fear to go down to Egypt, for there I'm going to make of you a great nation. The patriarchs dreamt their prophecies. Solomon dreamt his prophecy. On the night that he was anointed, he went to Gibeah, and he sacrificed 1,000 rams and sheep and many other offerings unto the Lord. And when he went to sleep, the Lord appeared unto him and said, ask anything, and I will give it you. This was a dream. He dreamt a dream. Are you with me? If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. But at the time of the Babylonian exile, when everything was being sacked and taken out of the land of Israel, including the temple burning to the ground, including taking the treasures out of the holy temple and bringing them to Babylon, the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, the menorah, everything that had the anointing on it in the temple was taken to Babylon. But that's not all that was taken to Babylon. The people of God were taken to Babylon also. But that's not all that was taken. The glory lifted off the temple. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel that it returned back to heaven. And the holy fire that would come down from heaven and consume the sacrifices, that also was in exile, going back to heaven. And the high priest's breastplate was an entity by which the high priest of Israel would pray when Israel went to war, put his hand on the breastplate, and he would utter the name of God before the entire camp of Israel, and lights would come down from heaven called the Urim, which means lights in Hebrew. And lights would come down from heaven and shine on the 12 stones, the gems on the breastplate. And inside those stones were letters. And when the lights of God hit those letters, the high priest had the ability to look at his breastplate and see what letters were lit by the presence of God. And he would form words by the Holy Spirit, and it would be in the form of prophetic utterance to tell Israel how to battle. This is given to us in Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 through 20. And it's given to us in Exodus chapter 28, beginning in the 28th verse and all the way to the 30th verse, the breastplate and its anointing. This was taken into captivity as well. And the end of the book of Malachi, if you notice, the prophecies are becoming more and more smaller. Isaiah 66 books, Malachi 3 books, 4 books, 4 chapters. Did you notice the shrinking, the diminishing of prophecy, so that the sages of blessed memory that were the scholar interpreters of Scripture and spent their entire lives studying the text and writing and exegeting the text and finding the meanings and researching every single sentence in the Bible, so that the sages of blessed memory that are the authoritative, authentic commentaries on the Hebrew Scriptures, that are not conjecture, but they're authentic, say that also with the Babylonian exile, prophecy was taken from Israel. And all these entities, whether it be the holy fire, whether it be the breastplate, whether it be the Ark of the Covenant, whether it be prophecy, or whether it be the glory, will return in the era of the Messiah. Are you with me? So what is Matthew's agenda? It's not to give us a biography. It's to tell us prophecy has returned. Prophecy has returned. Joseph is awakened when he thought on these things. And the Bible says, the Lord said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary to be thy wife, for that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says that God spoke to him again in another dream before the child would have been in danger. The awakening of warnings in dreams. That man doesn't warn you. You didn't read it in the newspaper. God is so guiding your life and so involved in your personal thoughts. When Joseph thought on these things, and so involved in your decision making, and knows what's ahead much more than you do, he said, take the child and his mother and flee quickly to the land of Egypt. And remain there till I give you word. That means your life now, Joseph, is going to be directed by divine providence and by dreams. Hello, I said prophecy returning. I said prophecy returning. Prophecy returning! And when Herod was dead, the angel of the Lord appeared in Egypt and said, Joseph, take the child and his mother and return back to the land of Israel, for they that sought his life are dead. And he came back. Joseph's intention was to remain in Judea. That's where his ancestral home was. That's why he went to Bethlehem to register. But in a dream, the Lord said, take the child and go to Nazareth, for it might be fulfilled that he shall be called a Nazarene. Are you with me? Are you with me, saints? What's the significance of prophecy coming back? It's proof of the Messiah. This is why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, when the Holy Ghost was given in the upper room, he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Prophecy is coming back. Your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we give God the praise and give God the glory? Stay in that mode. Don't get your eyes on man. Just stay in that mode, because the word is going to heal you as you hear the word of God. As you hear the word of God, Oh, as you hear the word of God. Now, I want you to understand something. To interpret the scripture Aramaically is to interpret the scripture messianically. What we just shared with you is also messianic, but also Aramaic. Aramaic concepts in the word of God. And one of the most powerful Aramaic concepts will change your life about the way you see sickness. The way you perceive sickness. I want you to know.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com. where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.